Hi, I'm Vicki Langford with Project 3810. We are a business incubator here in West OKC, and our mission is to help people become better bosses. Project Boss is our special op to accomplish our mission. Bosses have to manage the business from sales to operations to finances. Bosses need to develop their leadership styles and effectiveness in order to achieve results. And our boss members participate in peer coaching through boss board meetups and boss board roundtables. We expose our bosses to subject matter experts and introduce them to key players to help them achieve their business goals. All right, today's episode, we are going to talk about technology integration. And I have my partner, Sean Wright, in the room with me. I thought it would be great, Sean, if you could just talk a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself and then explore how we met. It's always a fun story.
It is a really fun story, to my detriment. We met a very long time ago, back in the olden days of the 1990s, when things were, when it comes to technology, were very, very different than they are now. I mean, these are back in the days when we were teaching people how to Google and getting paid for it.
Yes.
So that's how interesting it was.
And I don't even know if Google was like the verb that it is now.
You are correct, actually. Google just started in 1998. So I think we were teaching people how to Yahoo for money.
And AltaVista.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And AOL.
Yeah. And so, so 1998, I was teaching intro to internet classes, intro to HTML and intro to web design, that sort of thing, at Francis Tuttle and Oklahoma City Votech.
That was a second job.
That was my second job. Yes, I was working three jobs at the time for reasons I won't go into, and but it was fun. I love technology. I always have. Everything I've always ever done has been technology related somehow, and we met. So I was teaching a class, and I got notified that there was a new instructor coming on board, and the requirement for new instructors was to sit through the class with another instructor. So you were my student teacher.
Yeah. And this was Francis Tuttle. I don't know if we said that.
Yes,
so
Francis Tuttle.
These were adult classes in the evenings. Yeah. So
adult
it was a second job for me as well.
Right. It all sounded great and should have gone off without a hitch. But then I made a very unwise decision, which was to get a haircut just hours before the beginning of class, which in and of itself would have been fine, except I was being cheap and decided to go to the hair college. And I got so I'm Asian, and I got a person who was not familiar with cutting Asian hair and really messed it up and had to call her supervisor, and the supervisor had to get involved. And, you know, with a haircut, once you sit down, I mean, you're in. Like, you can't just be like, no, that's it, I'm out. And like a restaurant, if you don't like your food, you can just get up and leave, right? But with a haircut, you're in, right?
So,
I'm staring at a clock on the wall. And this is, by the way, before I had a cell phone. I did not get my first cell phone until the year 2000. So I couldn't call you.
I didn't have one either.
I didn't even know any number for you because I didn't even know who you were. So I had no way to do anything about it except sit there and stare at the clock and clench my fists and gnash my teeth. And it was a pretty terrible experience. They did what they could, and then I didn't even care at that point. I hate being late, and so I just ran out of the place as soon as they were done, and I got in my car and I sped away and hustled to Francis Tuttle, completely nervous and worried about what I was going to walk into because no one was there. There was no teacher, and you didn't know what to do. And so I walked in, and you were doing it, and I was like, "Sweet," and that's how we met.
And that's why I stress to people: improv classes are so important to business leaders.
I don't personally. I like to watch improv. I don't like to be involved in improv, but I don't necessarily disagree.
You have to
with
think
that
on
philosophy.
Your feet, and that's what I did. As I definitely was going about, I think it was about 5 minutes or 10 minutes into, because I had kind of dodging and like talking to people, but then it's like, all right, well, let's get started. So, all right, how to make a table?
So you might think that might doom a friendship, right? That starting off that way, but we actually that night after class, we probably talked for like an hour or two in the parking lot,
yes,
just getting to know each other. And then, like, we were pretty much instant friends. And that might have been a one-way thing, but I won't get into all that. But we became pretty fast friends to the effect that in not very much time after that, like, I was going to your house for barbecues and things like that.
And we had kids that were similar ages,
exactly,
and so it was just always a good time.
Yeah, so we've known each other for more than 20 years. I've always, aside from that job, I've always kind of worked separately from Vicky, except we would run into each other. For example, I worked at the local Air Force base, and she did a stint there as well, and we would run into each other at meetings because we were in the same field.
Yep.
And so, you know, and we go to lunches when she was working there and that sort of thing. So we always kept in touch, you know, and she's always had this family business on the side. And
I was always calling you, Sean, how do I do this?
Yeah, for technology tips, that sort of thing. So I did a lot of consulting for her company, her and her husband's company on the side from, you know, yet another job that's technology oriented that I was doing. And then it got to a point where I was doing enough technology for you that you started to ask me, you know, can you just come work for me? Being very risk averse like I am, and being a single parent of two kids, I was not super open to that because I didn't want to rock the boat. You know, things were going fine, the kids were doing fine. And then in 2016, one kid had graduated already and moved out, and the other one was graduating in just a few months. So coincidentally, you reached out like you would do every 6 months or so to say, hey, what are you doing? You reached out and I...
Stars finally aligned.
Well, at first, I did my usual thing of, no, not yet. But then, like, literally a week or two later, there was a shakeup at work. And it probably would have been fine. I worked for that company for 19 years. I think it probably would have been fine, but I got nervous. And I was like, maybe the universe is nudging me. And so I called you back and I said, all right, let's talk. And we did a 4-hour dinner view. You would think we didn't know each other. We did a 4-hour dinner view, followed by the next night of another 4-hour dinner view with you and your husband, who I've also known for the same amount of time. So you would think that we didn't know each other. But we were just talking shop, you know, technology and its importance and what we can do with it and what the future looked like. And by the way,
and how would you add value to the company at the end of the day, kind of thing.
But good. Technology is hard to predict, though. So, you know, there's a number of things we could look at today versus that we talked about back then and be like, boy, were we wrong?
Yes.
And so, but there are some things that don't change much, that involve technology very deeply, but not necessarily our technology. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. It's not necessarily... it's not necessarily raw technology that we're dealing with. It's just there's so much technology process that's involved with business that's critical that so many business owners, because it involves any aspect of technology, so many don't want to deal with and kind of ignore those things, and it gets them in trouble down the line.
Yeah, and especially in today's world with everything cloud and subscription based, we use technology in every department, in every job. You know, people are sending emails and using CRMs and everything like that. So having a really good IT department that is involved in your process and seeing how technology helps or hurts the processes is more critical than ever.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into the meat of today's topic, which is our technology integration. And Sean and I, since starting 3810 in 2017, as another side hustle, apparently we like to work a lot, we have realized over those years that it was surprising how many people still weren't quite sure what to do about their domain name, their email address, and what their website. So that's what the three areas we wanted to kind of talk about today is okay, great, you've decided you want to start a business, and you've figured out what you want to call that business. And then you have to like figure out your website stuff. So let's dive into that first thing, your domain name.
I have people say to me all the time about, you know, I want to start this business or that business, or what if I did this or that? Even my own daughters in the last year have hit me up about, I'm thinking about starting a business. And the very first thing I do whenever they mention it, if they have a name or something like that, is I look up the domain name and I also look up the social media handles because those things are super important, especially these days. So many people do all those things as an afterthought, and then they get down the line and they have a website that, you know, they can't claim the website because it's already claimed, and so they have some other weird domain that no one's going to remember, or that they remind people constantly that it's no, it's this other domain. Same with social media handles.
Well, and DD Audio fell victim to that because we kind of went into the game a little bit late, and so our first, by the time we got a Facebook account, DD Audio was taken.
Correct.
And so we ended up a crazy name that we still have this day. And just a side note here, it doesn't matter if you have a trademark on a company name. If your social handle is being used by somebody else, you can't get that back.
Yeah, we tried.
Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, they don't care about your IP.
I think it was in late 2016 or early 2017, we learned that somebody had the DD Audio Snapchat handle. And so we tried to get that back for them through the channels. It didn't work. Snapchat was just like, nope, sorry. We eventually reached out to the user. Knowing what I know now, the right thing to do would have been to have them change the password to something generic and hand it over to us wholesale so we could have just started using it, delete what was there and start using it wholesale. What we did instead was we got him to stop using it and to actually delete it, thinking we could get it once it was freed up, except it never freed up.
I don't know
what their process is.
Yeah.
But
we might should look into that again.
Yeah.
All right, so back to domain name. So it's almost more important to, as you're in the naming of your business process, to be Googling domain names.
Absolutely.
And use that to guide how you name your business because they're so intertwined in today's world. Your email address is going to have your domain name on it. So don't get settled in on a name if you haven't actually Googled the name to see what other businesses already exist with that name. Even if they're not in your same space, it's still good to know what you might be associated with, and then to verify if you can get the domains. And then kind of let that domain selection process, and there's some great tools that help you come up with versions of a name that actually are domain names that are available, so then you can kind of dwindle it down. And there, at this podcast, there'll be a link to a page that we'll put out that will have some of these resources that we might talk about. So you can go and research that.
Right, in the show notes. But be thorough with your domain search. Back in the olden days, it was pretty much .com, .net, .org, something like that. Nowadays, it's almost the Wild West. You know, you've got .tv, .land,
.care,
whatever.
.life, .audio.
Yeah, so don't stop at .com.
Thousands now.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about things like registrars and, you know, unfortunately, not every registrar does every domain.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that because let's say you found a domain name you want. How are you buying that? And here's some horror stories, Luke. So, like, there's a lot of cool websites out there that have great graphics that say, one-stop shop, click this button, and you can be up and running with your website in 15 minutes. But they will register a domain name for you, but then they kind of have control over it a little bit, and it's kind of hard to get that away if you don't want to use Wix, for example, or Shopify. You can let them register your domain name, but then if you ever want to not be on Shopify and graduate to a different web platform, now you have a little bit of an arduous process sometimes to get that domain name transferred. So explain those layers, Sean.
You have ICANN, which is the organization that governs who the registrars are, what the TLDs, which is top-level domain, like that's .com, .net, et cetera, what the TLDs are, who can start one. If you have like $250,000, I think you could start one, that sort of thing, which is why there's things like .google, for example, because Google has $250,000.
And .books, which Amazon's got on control.
Exactly. So there's the registrars, and then there's your your host, which can sometimes also be the registrar, but doesn't have to be. And underlying it all is DNS, stands for Domain Naming Service. And it's a little obscure technology-wise. I won't get into it too deeply, except to say that the majority of the time that your internet is down, the internet is not actually down. DNS is down in some way, shape, or form. Either your local DNS is down, or your DNS cache is corrupt, or something in your region DNS-wise is down, but the internet is not actually down.
Good to know. It's and to maybe put it into a reference that people can get, is there a way to have an analogy to like our home address?
Probably I'm not a builder, but if you build a house, you probably have to contact the post office somehow to get an address created. So that would be similar to a registrar. The U.S. government controls the post office, so that might be equivalent to ICANN. Sometimes people have aliases for their addresses. Maybe they might have a P.O. box or something like that, and it might forward, like if they have a mailbox, et cetera, box, it might forward to their actual address. So that's similar to a domain name in the sense that there's something that everybody knows in terms of how to reach you, and that's what they use, but in the background, it's actually coming to your real physical place. And that's kind of similar so the layers there are, you know, when you type in an address in a browser, and there's a whole bunch more going on here, but to simplify it a little bit, when you type in an address, it's asking DNS. It's saying, hey, DNS, who controls this domain? DNS says, oh, well, so-and-so controls this domain. So then something goes up to that and says, hey, I'm told you control this domain.
Where does this domain live?
Yeah, give me the result of this domain. And DNS basically says it has a table, a database, and it says, oh, well, for that domain, I have this IP address, and so here you go.
And it could be a Shopify, or it could be, right. And we'll get into the hosting aspect right after this.
Sometimes it's local, and they're like, oh, it's right here. And sometimes you're like, well, I have the entry for this IP address, but it's not actually here. It's over there. And so then it sends that request to the right place. This is all happening in milliseconds. We're a little bit spoiled, and we type something in, and it's going a little slower than we'd like, and we're just like, ah, you know, why isn't this instant?
It took three seconds.
But so much is happening, and it used to be so much slower. And so we have this amazing, you know, situation these days with the internet, and but yeah. There's all these layers that your request goes through before you finally get something, and you actually have an influence on how that all goes. You know, for example, if you have a very heavy site as far as the amount of data, I mean, a lot of pictures, a lot of content, maybe a large database, you might be inclined to move from a individual host where you on that server, everything lives. You know, it's the database, it's the web server, it's everything. You might separate some of those things out. You know, you might separate out the database or separate out the web content, or you might go with a global caching solution such as a CDN, which stands for Content Delivery Network. Believe it or not, if you're listening to this podcast, you have used a CDN. If you've used any major website, Amazon, Netflix, whatever, you're using a CDN. It's how things are so much faster these days. CDNs didn't exist back when Vicky and I met in 1998. And so sometimes when you type in an address and it's bouncing through all those different levels, it's getting to a place where that says, hey, This is isn't actually here. I own it. I own everything, but it actually lives in this CDN over here. So go over there. And the CDN is distributed. So there's major regional points. And so the idea being that a user is closer to one of those points than it would be to the original server, and that content's getting to you faster.
All right. Side note, make sure I covered it. As we're talking about the three pieces, so you've got your domain name. when you own your domain name and you purchase it at your designated registrar that you've chosen, you can give access to a web developer or any technical person that's helping you along the way so that you don't have to feel like pressured that, oh, I need to know all these things that we were talking about, because it's a lot. So just know that, but you owning it, you get to pick and choose who you give access and who you allow to set it up technically to work.
Right. This is not about making you a technology guru. It's just helping you make the technology work better for you long term.
Yes. And have more choices. Yes. Very good.
And we wanted to tie this back to, this is a business podcast. We wanted to tie it back to a business case scenario and why we even are doing this topic. And that was because we actually had a client, which we will not name, or a business associate, we should say, that had an issue with this exact thing, which is they bought the bait. They took the deal, the one-stop shop deal. They
spent hours creating their website using that template that one-stop shop had available to them.
And they bought their domain there. They were there for one thing, which was not related remotely to domains
and
technology.
And they had their email there as well.
They ended up there. They ended up getting their domain there. They ended up getting their email there. They ended up putting their website there.
Yeah.
And then it all went south.
Right. And part of that was understanding that email was limiting. They wanted to do some things with use Gmail and have the different G Suite things that were tied to their domain. And so then it started that process of, all right, well, how do I get this one-stop shop that I purchased my domain name to talk to my Gmail, which is possible, but that was difficult. And then they ended up wanting to change their domain name because we found out about all these other top level choices. And so wanted to make that their primary domain name. And so then there was that transfer. So they ended up, it took months to be able to get that domain name transferred so they could do the different things they wanted to do.
Right. But it wasn't a technical issue. It was a contractual issue of some kind.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to help you avoid, is getting stuck in those situations. The technology part of it is not that difficult. I'm not saying it's for everyone and everyone could absolutely do it. I'm simply saying everyone can learn or get assistance relatively easy for these smaller things versus this major thing. If you brought that major thing to someone, they would be like, oh my gosh, this is going to take us months, versus, oh, hey, I just need to transfer my domain from one registrar to another or what
yes.
have you.
And Sean and I at 3810, we offer this service to our clients. So for a very nominal fee, and we're happy to help them navigate, because at the end of the day, we don't want to be your web developer. We want to empower you to do your own updates, to maintain your own content, and make that super organic and easy for you to do.
Exactly. Empowerment. Technology empowerment. Maybe we should have called it that.
That's a lot. And let's just break it down. Okay, I'm going to start a business. It's going to be Shopify because I'm going to have some products I'm going to sell. So here's the distinction. When you go to Shopify and you don't have your domain name yet and it says pick a domain name, instead of doing that at the Shopify level, use an independent registrar service. Like Google Domains has one. There's several other companies. We use Ioness a lot. These will be in our blog notes that we'll put some reference links. Those registrars are going to charge you $14 a year, $10 a year, depending on if you get one of those special, like a .land or a .care domain. Maybe they have a little bit of a premium charge, $25, $30, $40, $50. You get to decide. And you get to own that forever, no matter what web service you use, no matter if you use a web developer or not, you own that property. That domain is yours. You get to log in. You can add additional domains to it. You can have aliases that all point to the one place that your website is hosted. So even if you want to use Shopify because it's a very convenient platform to get started with an e-commerce business, get your domain name through your own independent service. And then you can route that domain name to your Shopify address. And they have all the steps to do that. As well. So let's take it a step further. And now quickly, because we need to wrap up, there's a lot of content to cover, but we want to explain like web hosting as opposed to a Shopify or a Wix platform. and how you would choose a web host provider that would be independent of, again, your domain registrar maybe, and it's not something that's tied up. So if you did spend time and money on a Shopify website and now you're getting lots of traffic and you need more bandwidth and you need a more robust e-commerce engine, you cannot copy that Shopify website to this other system. It's a template-based thing. It's not copy and pasteable. So that's another disadvantage of getting going. And just knowing that at the get-go is fine, but at some point in time, realize that you will have to switch to an independently run, you know, like WordPress or something. And those are going to be hosted through a web host provider. So again, now we have two services we're paying for, a registrar and a web hosting service. And you want to shop those services and get referrals and make sure you like one. Make sure one that's not charging you bandwidth limits. Just unlimited bandwidth is always good, and a flat fee. Those things should run you, what, like $25 a month or so?
Something like that. Yeah. It depends on the services.
Yeah, and how much server capacity you're taking up, like how much actual storage you're using, and how fast you want that server to be.
If it's a physical server or a virtual server, all those things kind of factor in.
To your price.
And, right. And with the services like Shopify and 3dcart and Wix, a lot of times there's proprietary software driving those engines. And so that's part of why you can't just copy the site. It's not like 1998 when we met, where you could literally copy the files from one server and paste them to another server and it would work the same way. It's not like that anymore. Everything's so intertwined, whether it's because of the proprietary software or because of the engines driving the websites. You mentioned WordPress. That's a CMS.
Content management system.
That is an engine essentially that drives the content to the customer or the person landing on your website. It's handling the database. It's handling the files going to you. It's handling all sorts of things. And there's just no way to pick it up and copy it to another place. In general, there are ways, but it's not as easy as it used to be.
And I did want to mention GoDaddy. A lot of people default to GoDaddy, and they've expanded their service offerings to do web hosting and different stuff like that. Their true core is being a good registrar to buy domains at. And I think sometimes when platforms decide to expand into these other things, they sometimes don't offer the best solutions. But keep in mind, if you did get a WordPress website at GoDaddy, and you want to switch to a different web host company, you can copy that WordPress site. There are tools that let you do that and install it on a different web host. So those are some migration things that you might want to be aware of as you make these decisions at the beginning of your business journey, to kind of keep in mind a scalable path and not get stuck having to start from scratch 4 years into your business.
Yes.
It happens.
Yes. You'll find yourself, if you don't kind of take stock of the future in every decision you make when it comes to technology in your business, you're going to find yourself reinventing your technology self, so to speak, every few years, whether it's because you sort of in hindsight chose poorly as far as your host or your platform, or because the technology world is changing so much that you're just having to try to keep up with it. You'll find yourself making significant changes. You should, as much as possible, try to future-proof your arrangement, doing the things we talked about so far. And this might have to be a two-parter, by the way. But doing the things that we've talked about, such as having your registrar and your host not necessarily be the same place, and then also where your website lives not necessarily being the same place. It sounds arduous up front, but you'll save yourself trouble in the end.
We have heard horror stories of someone that went to a web developer, let's
right.
say, and that web developer registered that person's domain name. And when that person wanted to choose a different web developer or a different platform, that person didn't give them their domain.
Right. That person held it hostage.
And that, unfortunately, is very unethical in my book, but it does occur out there. So that's why you should kind of understand those three services, at least: web, your domain, who's going to be your web host, and then what type of web host or web platform, like we were talking about, that you want to use. And there is the people that do a good job of being a good registrar and a domain host. Those two are independent of each other. So even if I get my domain at that platform and I point my domain to their web hosting service, they're too independent. They're not intertwined. So they can be separated later. So that's another thing to keep in mind. But any final words as we wrap up this? There's a lot of information. It is overwhelming, but let's keep it simple and live in the Google world. You get a Google domain. Google will let you create your Google email address by one click of a button. And then you can do even a Google site for your basic beginning website and get your off and running in literally a few hours. So that's another thing. And they're all independent. That domain can be pointed to a different web host as you grow and expand. It can be pointed to a Shopify site. You can separate your Shopify shopping cart to just Shopify and maintain some pages on your normal platform. So those are a lot of different decisions that you could do. So that's my two cents on the last bit. Sean, any last words?
Oh, I agree with everything you said. I have personally set up a website inside of an hour, e-commerce website. It didn't look pretty. I'm not saying that you'll get a pretty website inside of an hour, but it's all technically possible.
And like that was using WooCommerce, which has a lot of great templates and stuff as well.
Exactly. So
WooCommerce is part of WordPress.
You know, start to finish, you know, under an hour, it's up and running. You can buy something, but again, not pretty.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for joining us for our technology integration part one, apparently. Look forward to hearing from you. Let us know if you have any comments or questions.